As Valentine's Day approaches, do all the images of hearts and flowers and happy couples leave you feeling a little conflicted? Unfortunately for many people, the yearly emphasis on romantic love leaves the uncoupled population feeling a bit out in the cold, neglected, or even ostracized. In fact, a recent study found that one in every four people reported themselves feeling very or fairly lonely. The U.S. Surgeon General is even calling it an epidemic of loneliness. Why are so many people feeling so alone? And what could be the cure? Valentine's Day also shines a spotlight on the ups and downs of romance. One of the definite downs is a major uptick in romance scams. The Federal Trade Commission estimates that romance scammers made more than $1 billion off their victims in 2022. And the numbers keep going up. We'll show you how to protect yourself. And if you're in a relationship, how do you stay in it when things get rocky? Or how do you know when it's time to pull the ripcord and just say goodbye? A divorce attorney shares her expertise. Fox 11 News In Depth shares the love right now. Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner, and this is Fox 11 News In Depth. It's almost Valentine's Day. For many people, that means the push is on to find a date, a mate, or a relationship. But things don't always turn out for the best when they look for love online. In fact, data from the FTC show some remarkable numbers. Scammers made about $1.3 billion in romance scams in 2022. Nearly 70,000 people reported a romance scam, and the median reported loss was about $4,400. Joining us right now is Dr. Jared Smith, distinguished engineer at Security Scorecard. And good to see you, Jared. Thanks so much for joining us. And what would you define as a romance scam?
Thank you so much for having me, Hal. A romance scam in layman terms would be when somebody takes advantage of technology to exploit or somehow get money from you or anything malicious in nature when it comes to computers and romance. So think of your traditional scamming or phishing where you send an email, you try and get someone to click something, but directly targeting people that are vulnerable to something like love or loneliness or an app that they might be using.
Does this happen on dating sites, or is it strictly sort of phishing in other fashion?
We see it happen on dating sites, on social media sites, on even Google results. People put ads up where they're luring others to come and come to a site that may not be real. And then they're talking to a bunch of AI bots and they're not talking to real people and they're paying for that. It is all over the place.
Who does it happen to? I mean, who are we talking about as targets?
Absolutely. So just like with phishing, it's a lot of the same lessons here. The targets are people that are usually not very sophisticated with technology or used to it for certain things, but it can be all over the place. I mean, even someone like me, if I wasn't married and was looking out for these things, I might miss something. It can be anyone now.
But you think about lonely hearts. You think about older people. Do older people tend to get caught up in this more than, say, younger people?
Yes. Yeah, we definitely see a general trend towards more affected populations seeing this. So if it's a grandmother getting a call from someone that claims to be someone related, same sort of thing happens when you're looking at an elderly population or a population that's at risk, that's susceptible to connections made from people that might want to scam them.
And you talk about people who may not be all that savvy. These people are not dumb. I mean, statistics show that 75% are college educated and 13% have graduate degrees. So what kinds of techniques do they use to deal with people who have their heads pretty well screwed onto their shoulders?
Yeah, absolutely. So one thing to remember, just as cybersecurity has become such a massive industry, is that the adversaries have to advance to target these victims. We talk about things like AI and deepfakes. You can find a video online of presidents playing golf together that have never, ever wanted to do something fun together. It's just as easy to manipulate images of our friends or family now with the rise in technology. So it doesn't have to be sophisticated. And frankly, it's getting increasingly easier, which is what makes it scary.
I can understand, you know, when people are feeling kind of alone and, you know, somebody comes along and it's a fishing expedition and they say something nice and you think it might be a real person.
Yeah.
But, you know, how I think after a while you realize that people are trying to get in your wallet.
Mm-hmm.
So why do people fall for this? Is it just that they're so desperate to find love, to find somebody to connect with?
Yeah, that's a great question. And at Scorecard, we do a lot of work with social engineering, and this is a perfect term for that. I would consider myself a technologist, but much of cybersecurity is based on socially engineering those that are victims to believe what we're saying. In the whole study of that is psychology. And so these actors are not just using, spamming and phishing sites and more technical things. They're reading books on how to get in someone's head and get them to act on their requests. So it's not surprising to me that even technical people fall for it, because social engineering, the term describes itself. You're engineering someone's social response.
Oftentimes, and I've done an awful lot of stories on scams, oftentimes the people that are out to get you are offshore. They're not here in the United States. Well, where are a lot of these scammers?
Absolutely. That's a good question as well. And that's largely what we see. If you look at even cyber attacks in general, from the data that we collect, the scorecard, we see it comes from Russia, China, India, those sorts of countries. When it comes to scams, it's those countries where you would think of a call center traditionally being based, because it's so easy for a organized crime group to pay hundreds of people to make these calls every single day.
And
For consumers, it's you look out for that. You need to look
right.
out. Does this person seem like they live down the street, or they live 1,000 miles away from me?
Yeah, but deep fakes, they play a big part of this, right?
It's
You know,
it. That's getting ex that's that part's scaring me even, because now you can even clone a voice. Just in the last 6 months, like my own voice, 5 seconds of me talking, it would replicate very well. And that part was not something that was happening 10 years ago when I started my career. And I don't think we've yet to see that really come to fruition yet on how bad it could be as far as the cybersecurity side.
But I remember a day, and I want to ask you how you protect yourself, but I remember a day I was over at the UCLA police station, and there was a girl sitting there waiting to file a report, and she was in tears. And she had just gotten gift cards, given it to a scammer, and she got caught up in some kind of a mess. How do you protect yourself from this stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. The best tip, honestly, for any of these things is when somebody asks you for money, in my opinion, if you have not met the person before in person, I would not be sending them money. Or if you don't have a close personal relationship, if they truly needed that money, there are shelters in town, there are churches, there are other nonprofit organizations. So for me, my rule is I'm not sending money to anyone unless I've literally talked to them in person.
But when it comes to a romance scammer, they try to gain your confidence, your trust first, and make you think they're real and there's a real relationship before they start reaching for your wallet.
Yes, absolutely. And we see this in, reality TV shows that air, where there'll be months and months of talking back and forth with someone on the show, and it turns out that it was actually not the same person, and they use images from another site. To your point, it's not as easy to go right up to someone and say, "Give me money,"
Right.
because they're not likely going to do it. So it is sometimes a longer game, of course.
Jared Smith, thanks so much for joining us. Dr. Smith, appreciate your
Thank you
time.
so much.
Coming up
Thank
next
you.
on Fox 11 News In Depth, what if you're in a relationship this Valentine's Day, and how do you keep it fresh? How do you keep it exciting? What happens when those cracks and divisions begin to appear? What do you do about that? How do we cope? We talked to a divorce attorney who's also an expert on relationships. That's coming up next. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. They call January Divorce Month in the legal profession, and it might have to do with, just getting a fresh start on the new year or not having to face Valentine's Day in an uncomfortable relationship. Our next guest is both a divorce attorney and a relationship expert. She just came out with this book, and it's called Live, Laugh, and
Find True Love.
Find True Love. Sarah Intelligator. And so nice to have you here. So nice to meet you. And you've seen this from both sides, haven't you?
Oh, yes.
Talk to me about that.
Well, I obviously deal with divorces all day, every day. But I also wrote this book because I wanted to get to people before they ever set foot in my office.
In your role as a relationship expert, can you tell us what signs to look for when there's trouble?
There are a lot of signs to look for when there's trouble, definitely. But things like people distancing themselves, maybe people talking to others, like friends, about the relationship, you know, things that, that are out of the norm.
Well, there's also a coldness.
Yes.
You lose that sense of warmth. The intimacy goes away. You, all these sort of things can tend to tell you there are warning signs out there.
Absolutely.
And so there are certain things that you call F words.
Yes.
These are okay folks.
Yes.
These are what words?
They are fundamental values, fear, fixing, fairy tale, family, and foundation.
And why those?
In my work as a divorce attorney, I've seen relationships routinely fail for the same reasons over and over and over again. And these are the patterns that I've gleaned from all my years of practice, and I've kind of distilled them down into these six F words.
If January is divorce month or breakup month, I guess the question is why, but then winter is sort of like cuffing season. And I'm not sure what that means exactly.
Yeah. So to your first question, I think that we see an influx in divorces in January because I think people play nice over the holidays. They don't want to deal with it. They want to do Christmas, you know, the holidays with their children. And then January rolls around and they want a fresh start. Cuffing season is that time where people are trying to find a relationship for the holidays, to have somebody around so they're not alone during the holidays. And so, yeah, that kind of overlaps with Valentine's Day and, you know, Christmas and Thanksgiving, things like that.
How do you know when to break up? I mean, that's a very, very vague question. Ooh. Because, you know, kids are involved in these marriages. So that has some play in it. Comfort zone has some play in it because you're comfortable in your home that you share. I mean, how do you know when you've separated so much that it's time to just keep going off in different directions?
You know, it's unique and different for everyone, but I think that when you feel like there's been an irremediable breakdown in the relationship, like you cannot fix it and you cannot live this for the rest of your life, then that might be the time to consider breaking it off.
You know, the five F's, that's kind of an interesting thing. Maybe it's because you call them the five F's, but can you elaborate a little bit more on them?
Yeah, well, I obviously go into great depth in them in the book, so yeah. We don't have the time to go into all of them now. But, you know, fundamental values, it's things like, you know, shared values, but like core beliefs, right? And when people don't share these core beliefs, they tend to not navigate life in a similar way. And that can lead to the breakdown of the relationship. So that's just one of many of these F words, right? Foundation, I break it down into five pillars: trust, honesty, respect, communication, teamwork, right? We want all of these pillars to be present so that you have a solid foundation to your relationship. It's kind of like the structure that holds up a house. Right? When we talk about fear, we talk about staying in a relationship that might be wrong, and you might know it's wrong or you might not, but most likely intuitively you feel that it's wrong, but you stay because you're afraid to leave for myriad reasons. Fixing, we talk about, you know, people think that they can fix their partner, or they enter into the relationship having not addressed their own issues, and this could impact the relationship in a negative way. Family's a big one. Families play a big part in relationships, right? If someone's close to their family and you don't like their family or their family doesn't like you, that could place a tremendous strain on a relationship, right? Fairy tale, people think that the wedding day is the end all be all, that they are going to have this most perfect day ever and then they're gonna live happily ever after. But the happily ever after is the next 40, 50 years, however many years, right? So, it's kind of, you're setting yourself up for failure if you think that marriage is just about this fairy tale.
I just one more question, because oftentimes these things are very confrontational. We only have a half minute left. How often do you deal with one where it's amiable, where we have one attorney and you work it all out and people are still friends afterwards?
Yeah, I mean, that happens often, and I'm always really excited when it does, because that's the goal and that's ideal. But yeah, that's it does happen.
All right. Yeah. Sarah Intelligator, thank you so much. And
thank you.
The book is Live, Laugh, Find True Love.
Yep.
And good luck with that. And
thank you. Coming up
next on Fox 11 News In Depth, with all of the talk of Valentine's Day, all the ads for chocolate, flowers, and diamond rings, all the happy couples milling about. Well, sometimes that can just make the uncoupled feel even worse. Coming up next, we talk about the epidemic of loneliness and if there is a solution. We'll be right back. The World Health Organization says loneliness is a major health threat. In fact, they say it's just as bad for your health as about 15 cigarettes a day. Joining us to talk about that is Dr. Michelle Nealon, president of the Chicago School. Welcome, Michelle. Good to see you again. And the WHO says one in four older adults suffer from social isolation, and that isolation increases the risk of an early death by 39%. That's a frightening number. What do you think could be the cause of this uptick in loneliness?
Yeah, nice to see you again, Hal. And it's certainly a staggering number. Just to put for our viewers in context, this was a study that was done across the globe. And the way that the researchers gathered this data and analyzed this data captured about 77% of the world's population. And they did come back with about one in four people are feeling fairly or very lonely. The reality is that loneliness, it's different from being alone, Hal, and it's different from chosen solitude. Loneliness is an emotion that we feel that is dominantly sadness, and it is caused by a lack of social connection or a perception of a lack of social connection. And the reality is we aren't as connected as we used to be at the family level, at the community level, and it's changed with social media, how we connect.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. I think social media certainly has put a lot of people alone in their rooms behind their computers. A surprising finding is often the younger people, though, who are most likely to feel alone. So when we talk about younger people, you know, you tend to conjure up an image of an older person, a widower, a widow, a person who, you know, has lost some great love of their life. But young people, the information is really startling.
Yeah, in that study, Hal, it suggested that 25% and more young adults are experiencing loneliness, whereas for 65 years of age and older, it's about 17%, still a lot of people. Now, when you think about young people, all of us went through it. Every human being goes through the young years, the teenage years, the young adult years. They're very complex. We're trying to figure out relationships for the first time. We're trying to figure out what careers will we get into and establish a sense of life. And we're bombarded as well with a sense of what we should be doing at that stage. We should be partnered. We should be married. We should have a job. We should be doing all of those sorts of things. But the reality is that more and more the way that our lives have evolved, young people are less connected than ever before, and they're spending a lot of their time scrolling on their social media rather than really engaging, being out and engaging with the broader society.
And what do you find with the seniors? I mean, like I said, you conjures up images, but what do you find?
Well, with seniors, again, you know, part of growing older is that we get a lot of miles on our wheels, if you will. We build that sense of experience. As we grow older, we've established patterns. We've established a sense of self. We know when we're alone. We know when we're living a life of solitude. And for many people, that's chosen. Others feel a sense of loneliness, but as they age, they become more connected in ways that they choose or that make meaning for them. And also as we age, we get more and more comfortable with being with ourselves, and we actually value being with ourselves. So there's more a sense of young people, all these expectations piled on, and then as we age, a sense of this is my groove, and I'm happy with myself, I'm happy with being in my groove. I want it, I accept it, and I'm living with it.
Did I hear you correctly when you said people who feel lonely, that's not exactly the same as being alone?
There is a fundamental difference in that. And thanks so much, Hal, for raising that. You know, I'm alone right now in my house. I don't feel loneliness. I'm by myself, but I'm not loneliness. Loneliness is a desire to be connected socially. And yet you are finding yourself that you're isolated and you don't want that. You are, and then it builds into a sense of sadness because there's that lack of social connection. And Hal, in addition to what you raised about the impact of that loneliness, I mean, it's very serious. You mentioned from that study, the risk of loneliness and social isolation is actually comparable in terms of mortality to other major high-risk, well-established risk factors like obesity, smoking, or the lack of physical activity. But also, Hal, the loneliness and social isolation, that is loneliness, not being alone in that regard, it raises the chances of having a stroke or cardiovascular disease by 30%.
It's really extraordinary. I'm going to jump in because we only have about 30 seconds left. But let me just ask you, what can lonely people do?
Lonely people can explicitly take responsibility for changing it. Not that that's easy, and I do not say that lightly. Reach out and engage. Develop a hobby. Take yourself out for a meal, for a date. Go get a cup of coffee and go to the bookstore. Surround yourself with people. And it, with time being of interest, Hal, what can the rest of us do? Do not underestimate the impact of looking somebody in the eye when we're out and about and saying hello and smile. For people that are truly living with a sense of loneliness, that can uplift their day, that they were seen and that somebody took the time to greet them and engage with them.
Mm. All right, Dr. Michelle Nealon, thanks so much for joining us and sharing your time so we wouldn't be lonely in here. And we'll talk to you again soon. And we'll be back with more Fox 11 News in Depth right after this. Don't go away. And finally, if you want to hear an audio version of this program, check out my podcast. It's called What the Hal, and it's available wherever you subscribe to podcasts or just go to whatthehalpodcast.com. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News In Depth. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.